I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're taking a look here about now we are at the point of taking a look at words related to this word predestination. We've took a look at that word predestination as translated in the English and our King James translations of the Bible, and we saw that in Romans chapter 8, we've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been in a promise that Him, the Lord, having done that, He calls, He justifies, He glorifies, and that in Ephesians, we've been predestinated into the adoption of children, also to an inheritance. According to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We took a look at that same word, not translated any form of the word predestination, but rather in Acts chapter 4, that says there, the brethren declare for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before. So the speaking of Jesus. Okay, speaking of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He came to do, and that He would be given over to the hands of wicked men. And they would do what mankind, sinful mankind, is predictable to do. They'd kill Him. And then we left off last time here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we took a look at this, what the brother is writing to this church at Corinth about. But we speak, verse number 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And we can take a look over at 2 Timothy about that mystery, that God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, believed in on in the world, and received up to glory. I mean, Jesus, God, the Son, came down and became a man, and it is a mystery why He would do so. It's a mystery why He would do so for the likes of me and you, we who are here and saved. But it is that the mystery by which we are saved, and we have redemption and atonement and all other blessings, that reward that we spoke about this morning, all of that comes to us in Christ. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, because it was, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And so He ordained that the Son would come, that we might be ultimately glorified. And when we are glorified, as we mentioned earlier in earlier sessions, when we are glorified, indeed then we will be made in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But until then, we have a responsibility to walk with our Lord and obey Him in that. This kind of gives us a segue to this word ordain. That's the next word that we want to take a look at, and we'd like to try to do that all in one session. And so I don't want it to be boring and that. I want us to be able to try to get that. And so we'll just follow the Lord's guidance in about how much time to take on this. But we want to just consider about this word ordain, okay, or any form of this word ordain. What's the Scripture say? What does the Lord tell us about things that are ordained? Okay, there's 44 occurrences of this, of any form of the word ordain in the Scripture. I invite you to turn to Esther chapter 9. Esther chapter 9. And we'll just see here quickly in Esther chapter 9, and we'll maybe back up a verse or two to get the context. In Esther chapter 9, we know the account. In the days Esther and Mordecai there at Shushan, the palace, in the days of those kings that ruled, we understand the time frame after Nebuchadnezzar, and yet the children of Israel are held captive to some extent. This king, and she's chosen by this king to be her queen. And we see here in verse number 26 of Esther 9, wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as join themselves to them, so as it should not fail, that they should keep these 2 days according to their writing, according to their appointed time every year. And so Haman had stood against the Jews, the enemy of the Jews. He was defeated. And so here we see that peoples, tribes, and nations ordained things to be ongoing. Okay, so we see that. And that's kind of, you know, we understand that, but we want to see about that mention in the scripture. Next we see, you can turn there if you like. I'll read it to you. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse number 32. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, likened to the feast that is in Judah. Remember Jeroboam, Rehoboam. The way I keep those guys straight is that Rehoboam is Solomon's son, and R and S fall close to each other in the alphabet, okay? Jeroboam was the servant called to be the leader of the 10 northern tribes, and he got nervous about the Jews out of Israel, what came to be known as Israel, those northern tribes, going down into Judah to worship at where? Jerusalem, where the Lord had put his name forever. Well, here we see that Jeroboam, being fearful of that, he ordained this feast in the 8th month, amongst other things, and set up calves in Dan and Bethel, and then told the inhabitants of the nation, the part of the nation that he'd been given to rule over, don't go down there. You don't need to go down there. This calf in Bethel and this calf in Dan are where you need to worship. And here he ordains another feast in the 8th month. And so we see that kings ordain things. And, well, they should. They're kings. Now, this is an evil working, isn't it? It is an evil thing that is done. In 2 Kings chapter 23, let's take a look over there. 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. We see here about Brother Josiah. And a blessing our brother is, and the Lord raising him up in a wicked and evil day. And we see here, I think it was Brother Doug some time ago had done a study about King Josiah. And we see here about some of the things that he did, and relative to some of that mess that was done up there in Bethel and such. And what's it say? And he put down the idolatrous priests, 2 Kings 23:5. Whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and the moon and the planets, and to all the host of heaven. So, Brother Josiah, he put down that wicked worship and those artifacts of that wicked worship that those kings of Judah had ordained previous to him. We see that David, about the order that would be in the temple that Solomon would build. It says in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22, all these which were chosen to be porters in the gates were 212. These were reckoned by their genealogy in their villages, whom David and Samuel the seer did ordain in their set office. So kings set up things that are good. Kings ordain things that are bad. We see more references. There's only a few more references about this. And 2 Chronicles 23:18. Also Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. Okay, so the king said, this is the way it's going to be. And his expectation would be that it would continue on to be. So peoples, tribes, nations ordain things. Kings ordain things. You remember how it was with Daniel and the three Hebrew children. Arioch was put over them, and the Nebuchadnezzar had done this. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 24, therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. Of course, it was wicked for him to seek to do so to the children of the Lord, and the Lord worked greatly and delivered them
by Daniel, giving Daniel the interpretation of the king's dream. So kings ordain things. Next, we want to take a look at the scripture and take a look here that churches ordain things. Okay, churches ordain things. And I know I'm just saying things in a general way, but let's take a look here in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, Judas has betrayed our Lord. He is found remorseful, not repentant, remorseful. He's caught in a trap, a thief caught in a trap, and he goes out and he returns the silver back to the priests and the leaders there in Israel. He returns that to them. They don't want anything to do with it because it's blood money. They admit openly. And by the potter's field, for those that don't have any family or anyone to provide burial for them, he goes out and hangs himself. And he's one of the apostles. And so now there's an opening. And we see here that the church is admonished by the apostles to fill this place. They found it in the scripture that it should be so in the Old Testament. And so we read here in Acts chapter 1, verse number 21, they say, the apostles say to the church, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, what must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection?" Which was the big job of the apostles, is a witness of the resurrection in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had firsthand knowledge, and so this is not something that the apostles are going to do, but they charge the church, and that and the apostles, the church under the leadership of the apostles, ordain Matthias ultimately to be the replacement apostle. And honestly, there are those that believe that this was an error, in that because Paul was ordained to be an apostle later on, he would have been the 12th apostle. I don't think that's the case. There's no rebuke in the scripture for them having done wrong. And you know what? Yet today, Brother Matthias is an apostle of the Lord. Now, he's not on the earth, but he is an apostle of the Lord. Remember that the Lord Jesus said plainly that the apostles would sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the apostles are going to be there in that day. And so the church ordains things. Now, I've got some references in here to scriptures that that are referring like to the Apostle Paul. Let's go over here to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And here they're in Iconium. And they flee into Lystra and Derbe, and verse number 6. And we find over here in around verse number 23, let's get the context of this, verse number 21. "And when they had preached the gospel in that city and taught many, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." This is the Apostle Paul and the troop that's following with him. "And when they had ordained them elders in every church." Now, this is the work of the apostle, but he's no freelancer, is he? He's sent at the directive of the church in Antioch, Antioch in Syria, okay, not to be confused with Antioch in Pisidia, that they passed on this particular journey. But they ordained them elders, okay? And so this is the working of the church, and the apostle was there overseeing that. "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." In chapter 16, we see here in verse number 4, they come to Derbe, Lystra. They meet Timothy in verse number 1 of chapter 16, well reported, a man of good witness and such. Verse number 3, "Him would Paul have go forth with him, took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, Paul and his troop, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, the commands of the Lord, by the Lord, the gospels of the Lord, his direct teaching in the day that he was there with the apostles, and then the writing, any writings of the New Testament scriptures, and the directive of the apostle Paul, who was called an apostle, as we read this morning, he was an apostle to the Gentiles by the Lord, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so what the apostles said because of their calling of the Lord, as one brother says, and I think it's a great title for them, helps us understand about it, they're the transition team. And they were there in that transition from the keys of the kingdom having been with Israel, and now the church having the keys of the kingdom, and the church of the Lord being the pillar and ground of the truth, the pillar and prop of the truth. And so here it is that what? The decrees were to keep that were ordained of the apostles. So the apostles had a work that they did in their leadership in the church, and the things that they said were ordained. We yet hold to them today. What is it? Brother Peter tells us that the church is built upon the foundation of the doctrine of the apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief corner. Okay? And so we see here that the church, if you will, ordains things. The apostle writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, speaking to them about benevolence and almsgiving for the sake of the saints. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches. Now, I've got that under the heading of the church because he is an apostle, which is part of the leadership given to the church, and this is all in the work of the church for the benefit of the churches. I find this interesting here. Let's take a look at this. We'll refer to this passage again. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's take a look here. Brother Paul writing to Brother Timothy and exhorting him, admonishing him, teaching him, encouraging him, and that he fill the pastorate and the calling of the Lord upon him. And he says, as Timothy was ordained, okay, so the apostle was ordained. And it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. By who? Well, ordained a preacher is the work of the church. A man says that he surrenders to the calling of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we, the church, immediately, and it may be even a subtle thing, but the church immediately evaluates the character and the qualification of the man and say, yes, we agree with that. Or they would say, no, we don't agree with that. That's the duty of the church. But they say, yes, we agree to that. And the practice, our practice amongst our churches is to license the brother to be able to preach. So it's known that he is under the watch care of that church. And then that church watches him in his ministry. And then when it comes time, by the calling of the Lord, the moving of the Lord in the church, and the brother, the ministry that the Lord calls the brother to, then it's up to that church to ordain him. And that's not to be a hastily done thing. But the church does ordain preachers and pastors. Okay? Now listen to what it says here. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. Now, churches, we do have that with Matthias, but in the strictest sense, churches don't ordain apostles, do they? That's the work of the Lord, because he chose the 12. He did, I believe, work through the church to replace Judas, but he was a man that the qualification was that he was with them from the time of the baptism of John. He had to be a man that was baptized by John. So in a sense, what the church was used of the Lord is determined between these two brethren. And indeed, it was the working of the Lord through the church there. But we don't have apostles anymore. Okay, so we don't have to worry about that. But I found that interesting. He says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. And that, I believe, was by the church there in Damascus or the church there in Antioch in Syria. Okay, they laid hands on them. They sent them on their way. And in an apostle, and that's the work of the Lord. I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And then in Titus chapter 1, Brother Titus called to the Lord to be a minister and a preacher of the gospel and even a pastor there to the folks in Crete, which was a tough ministry as we understand. And he says, the apostle writes in Titus chapter 1 verse 5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting." There's some things that aren't what they ought to be there, and you need to be preaching and teaching on that. "And ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And of course, the directive is given to this pastor by the apostle to do so. But again, he would never do that and did not do that separate from the sanction and work of the church. Churches beget churches, and churches have ministers and preachers and pastors within them. But it's all through the work of the church that these things are done. So churches ordain some things. Now, I do want to mention this. There are those that believe that a man being ordained into the gospel ministry, that there is something about that that not even he can break. Okay? But I'll tell you this. If I ever become wicked and sinful and just bring a disgrace upon the word of the Lord and upon Olmsted Baptist Church, I should be taken out of the ministry. There are some that believe that they claim what it says and what it is in Romans, that the calling of God is without repentance. They need to understand what that verse is talking about. Just because it would seem that the Lord would call a man to the ministry and he would be ordained doesn't mean that he might not be a wolf. Doesn't mean that he might not be like Brother Samson. Brother Samson was called of the Lord, but he got himself in such a shape by his wicked ways that he could not be a judge in Israel, could he, brother? And so it's not a thing to where the ordination of a man is just like a total, makes him an untouchable. Listen, as a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, I am as responsible to the church as you are. We're responsible one to another and to our Lord together in the church. And to walk blameless, without blame, and walk holy, and walk in love. And so I will say that the church does ordain things, but in regards to the ordaining of men to the ministry, it's not a seal or a thing upon them that makes them not to be able to be dealt with by the church if it would be so that they would. You know, if I would, Lord, be my helper, I would never. I pray the Lord would help, and it would never be. You know, we don't ever say, well, that would never happen to me, because it could. But if I would go out on Clarissa, I should be disciplined. Even though I'm the pastor of this church, I should be disciplined from this church. And I pray that would never be the case. But a pastor does not stand by himself and is untouchable, even though there's been this ordaining that's going on. There are wolves at hand. Remember how the Apostle Paul spoke to those brethren at Miletus. Let's take a look at that. And I think that backs this up. Let me see if I can find that quickly. Chapter 18-ish. No, further than that. Chapter 20, Acts chapter 20. Listen to what the apostle says to these brethren as he's on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that he's going to go by Jerusalem. I think he understands that. See, he's not going to stir up strife, but he's going to go to Rome. The Lord has made that clear, and there's even then those, I believe, at this point, our brother's going to prophesy about that. But he's at Miletus, Acts chapter 20, verse number 17. What's it say? "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Right? Verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Remember what Brother Bobby read this morning? A man that speaks about himself. You need to take note. But a man that speaks and preaches of the one that's sinning, that's our calling, is to uplift Jesus, not Jim Duke. He says, also of your own self shall men arise speaking perverse things, draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So the apostle even knew that amongst those brethren that came, there could be deceivers and wolves. Okay, so peoples, tribes, nations ordain things, kings ordain things, even the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ ordain things. And then ultimately, our subject that we want to take a look at here is the Lord ordains things. Just got warmed up, didn't we? Let's take a look at this. Just to put us in the mind about considering this about our Lord. In Numbers chapter 28, who was it that gave the law? Who was it that gave those things ceremonial and sacrificial? Who was it that knew in giving the ceremonial and sacrificial law that he gave unto Israel, he knew that that would not provide an atonement for sin? God Almighty did. And it was in its place, and it was in its time. But yet he ordained it, didn't he? Let's read here in Numbers chapter 28. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire, for a sweet savour unto me. See, it's all about the Lord. Shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day. Continual burnt offering, okay? Day by day for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even. And it's been some time ago that we took a look about those days of the crucifixion of the Lord and those days preceding that, and how along with those sacrifices at the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and those days that preceded that, how these sacrifices were being offered, and how it was that about the time of probably the morning sacrifice, our Lord Jesus was nailed to a tree. And about the time of the evening sacrifice, our Lord Jesus said, it's finished. Because he is the fulfilling of these things, and the veil rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Verse 4, one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, the other shalt thou offer at even. A tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering mingled with a fourth part of a hin of beaten oil. It is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. He ordained it to be. God ordained that those sacrifices be performed, didn't he? And we think of the tens of hundreds of thousands of beasts, no doubt, maybe even millions over the course of the years of beasts that were offered in sacrifice, the daily sacrifice, and all those different feast days that they had, and the special sacrifices that were offered, the individual sacrifices that were offered by the nation of Israel. And not one of them, not all of them could touch one sin, but our Lord Jesus Christ took care and answered all of them. He was the answer to all those sacrifices, but they were ordained by the Lord for his nation and to his nation for that day. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. I like this, and our Lord has done this somewhat, although, you know, churches in our day do have a point of geography in that in our culture we build buildings, but we don't need this address. You know, we don't need 2075 Olmsted Road to be able to be a church, do we? We enjoy it. It's great to be, you know, you look outside and the wind's kind of blowing. It's nice to be in here rather than be out there to worship. But we don't need the address, do we? But there was a time that the Lord said this, and he has done so. And it's just a wonder, isn't it, how the Lord has tied not only his nation and even things that were told about in the Old Testament scriptures before his nation, and then his nation, and then his church, and then the headquarters of his kingdom are all tied together to the place. You know what the place is? Zion, Jerusalem. It'll be headquarters for all of us that are saved one day, won't it? And we look forward to that. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, David can't build the temple, but he does gather the material for it. And the Lord, in dealing with him about this, he says this in verse number 8. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee. And I have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also, I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and they shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. You know what? When the Lord Jesus Christ, by the hand of his servant Moses and by the hand of his servant Joshua, brought the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, once again, he said what he meant and meant what he said. They're going to live there. And that's their place. And there's no one doing it. Though the heathen rage and tear their shirt, if you will, Israel is going to live in the land that the Lord has given them. And he has ordained a place for them. Who can change that? I mean, the world's going to try to change it. The powers of the world are going to try to change it. But God has ordained it. And if God's ordained it, is it going to change? Nope. No way, no how. It's not going to change. We're going to stop right there, and there's just no way that we can, in a reasonable way, be able to cover all this ground, but we want to look at these things that are ordained by the Lord. Take a look at a few more things in the Old Testament, men that he ordained. He says about Jeremiah, as he did John the Baptist, that he ordained him to be a prophet before he was even born. And that's relative to some of the things that we've seen with our earlier study of the word predestination. Then we'll get to the New Testament, and we'll see the things that the Lord says are ordained by him there.